Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shanks Show.
Happy Monday and welcome to our broadcast. I'm Bill Shanks with Russ Brown. We are live on location at Dawson's Kitchen here in Midtown Macon on Brookdale Avenue here, right off of Vineville Avenue. We are here until 6:05 when we will turn it over to the Braves Radio Network as the Braves start a three-game series, the New York Mets, the third-place team in the National League Eastern Division. Dawson's Kitchen has great food. We wouldn't be here if it didn't. They have meats and vegetables on the menu tonight. Here you go. Beef tips on rice, baked chicken, fried pork chops. I'm getting ready to walk over and ask when exactly they're going to be frying a new batch of pork chops to get one that will be hot because they do a very good job of cooking pork chops. Collards, cabbage, squash, mac and cheese, green beans, candied yams, dressing, rice. Russ had a little thing going on last week with that squash casserole, I believe, if I remember correctly. He really loved that squash casserole.
It was especially good last week. There was just a little bit of extra love or something in there.
There you go. They got it, no doubt about it. They've got meats, vegetables. They can do casseroles with a 24-hour notice. They've got desserts. And every day, Monday through Saturday, they have great meats and vegetables on the menu here at Dawson's Kitchen. They also have great pies, cakes, nanner pudding. They got it all here. Come on by Brookdale Avenue, 3360 Brookdale Avenue, right off of Vineville Avenue in Macon. Tell them you heard it on Middle Georgia's ESPN. They always love to hear, and we get great response all the time from folks coming in and doing that. Well, we appreciate that very much. I mean, look, it is very important for all of our sponsors to know that you hear them on Middle Georgia's ESPN, so we encourage you to always tell any of our sponsors, whether it's Dawson, any of other restaurants, or any of our other 30-some-odd sponsors that we have in the Middle Georgia area that we cover for our area, that you will get it and appreciate their sponsorship of our programming. If not, we are out of business. The Braves have just made a roster move, and I'm glad. They recalled Grant Dayton from AAA Gwinnett, who's been pitching very well down in AAA. Oscar Wainoa. Didn't she used to sing country music back in the 90s with her mom?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, thank you. He was pretty impressive yesterday. He threw the ball hard, and he has climbed up the minor league charts very quickly, but he is going to go back down to AAA and start, get more innings, get more work. Grant Dayton, who was a Tommy John candidate, a Tommy John alumnus who was acquired by Alex Anthopoulos right after he got the Braves job, came up for a brief stint earlier this year and had 5 games and did very well. So he'll be back up now in Atlanta with that roster move. We have no guests in the rundown. We are your guest. Be your guest. That's who we are. And, of course, phone calls all day long, 478-646-ESPN. Quite a weekend with the Bravos and all that happened in sports. The golf, of course, it was very interesting with the U.S. Open. And kind of a surprise and a very good run there by Brooks Koepka. But it didn't work. It didn't make it. And the British Open is like, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all bunch it together now. The British Open always used to be right around the trade deadline. Now it's just like from early second week of April to the second week of July. Like 3 months, and all the 4 are done, aren't they? Kind of weird.
It is, and I think, I like the move to get I think they're trying to move away from football season and try to get everything pretty much, I guess, except the FedEx Cup wrapped up by August, which I do like because it's going to end up moving like the Europe versus the United States, Ryder Cup. It's going to be able to get the Ryder Cup I always get made fun of because I don't watch the Ryder Cup, and I always make fun of the Ryder Cup, but it happens in September. That's football season. I'm not watching the Ryder Cup on a Sunday
no.
in September. The Falcons haven't blown the season in September yet. We're still 6 or 7 weeks away from that. So I'm glad they've moved everything back. And it is cool to have it kind of all bunched up together. It's like golf gets its little push in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good, too, because there are stretches now that basketball is over that, to be honest with you, kind of dead. Until football season starts. Practice starts here in a couple of weeks. So, Gary Woodland won yesterday. Quite a story. Obviously, a great story. And now we'll see what happens with Koepka and Tiger Woods, the British. The Open Championship, isn't that what they call it?
Yes.
With their nose in the air. The Open Championship.
Sorry, not the British Open. It is the Open.
The Open Championship. The Ohio State University.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Big time. So, anyway, we had that. We had the big NBA trade with Anthony Davis going to the Los Angeles Lakers, who are already projected to win the NBA championship. They're going to do it with two players. Two versus five. LeBron's going to score 40. Anthony Davis will score 45. They'll have token players for the rest of the roster, and that's it. That's all they'll be able to afford. I don't know how they're going to afford anybody else. But the New Orleans Pelicans now have 1-4. And we're going to be talking a lot about this, but obviously we were kind of waiting for that domino to fall, and now we are 3 days away from the NBA draft. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, Russ. I'm getting excited about it. I'm reading more and more about the Hawks and what could happen. Chris Kirshner of The Athletic says it's Culver, Hunter, Reddish. I don't know how, knock on wood, this can go wrong. I really don't, but they do have Atlanta before the name of their team. So there's always a chance that something could go wrong. But if we walk out of there on Thursday night and it's Culver, Hunter, Reddish, and God knows if they have two, we're going to throw a parade downtown Atlanta. We'll take it.
Yeah, I think, it seems like they're going to try to move up. And if they can find a partner to do that, they'll get one of those three that they really covet. And the number one guy out of that group, whoever they decide that is, and from everything we've heard, I think it's Jared Culver. But, you know, if you could figure out a way, excuse me, if there was a way for you to take 10 and 17 and maybe you have to throw in a player and some second-round picks, but I'm wondering, you know, can they get high enough up into the draft to get Culver or Hunter and then still hang on to that eighth pick and get Cam Reddish? I mean, it's like you said, it's not like we're sitting here going, how is this going to go wrong? It's like, how right is this going to go? Is there a chance they could actually come away with this with two of those three guys? And I think there's – because Cam Reddish seems to be sitting there at eight, I think they could pull it off. But it all comes down to if they can move up without getting rid of that eighth pick.
JC on Twitter, I know you don't watch all the hoops, but do you even know who Kyle Kuzma is? Isn't he the state rep from Iowa who's a Republican? No. Yes, of course I do, JC. Who do you think I am, an idiot? I know who Kyle Kuzma is. Do you know who John Konkak is, you pompous punk? I'm getting ready to kill somebody on social media. May not be you, JC, but I'm telling you, y'all are in trouble. Y'all are getting on my nerves on social media. If I wind up in prison, what did Bill do? Killed somebody on Twitter. Oh, yeah, that's probably it. Yes, I'm not a dummy. I do study for this show. I know who Kyle Kuzma is. I've seen him play, as a matter of fact. Watch one of those late-night Sunday Laker games at home. See? Yes, I know, Kyle Kuzma. I don't know how they got away with not giving Kyle Kuzma up in the deal, to be honest with you. That was the only thing that I thought they may demand, but somehow they kept Kyle Kuzma. And, I mean, I don't know what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's status is. I think he was just there on a one-year deal. I know Rondo, I mean, for all I know, KCP and Rondo are gone, right? They may be free agents. JC, since you're such a basketball expert, you Peter Vesey wannabe, why don't you tell us who's left on the Lakers roster? I think KCP's a one-year deal, though. Did he just sign? Did they just bring those guys in on one-year deals? And it was Rondo, KCP, the guy Stevenson who used to blow in LeBron's ear, which didn't really make a whole lot of sense, right? He was the other one they brought in. So, yes, JC, yeah, I know a little basketball. No, hockey, JC, you got it, baby. It's yours.
KCP is an unrestricted free agent.
Okay.
And I'll check on Rajon Rondo here real quick. I think you're right. I think he's a unrestricted free agent also.
Point is, they got a lot of and it was interesting. I don't know if you heard them talk about the fact that if the Pelicans had agreed to do the deal on July 30th, they would have had more cap room. And instead, they would not agree to do that. I guess they wanted more from the – they probably wanted Kuzma from the Lakers in order to do that, to give them another max contract space. But they're going to announce it on July the 6th. So, therefore, they had to accept – I mean, my God, they got a fortune. The guy's a rental. Yeah, he's going to re-sign with the Lakers. I think we know that. There's no doubt about that. But still – it was the equivalent of the Braves gave up for Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith, like seven prospects, with no assurance that they're going to get Madison. Now, here's the deal. And by the way, it took all of 10 minutes for me to wait until I said Madison Bumgarner on the show today. So those of you who had the over-under at 9, there you go. If the Braves knew they were going to get Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith to re-sign for the long term, and I would do that. I would sign him for the long term today. You don't really have those kind of deals in baseball, though, where, well, all right, we're going to do this trade, but you got to sign. That's hard to do, because then you have to give a window for the team to negotiate, and that's not always done. And it's like a sign and trade. Sign and trades aren't done in baseball very often. So, but it's kind of like the equivalent of if the Braves did get Mad Bum and Will Smith, they give up seven prospects. Because the Lakers are giving up a ton. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. I don't know as much about Josh Hart, JC. I do know Ingram and Ball. And then the number 4 pick in the draft, which the prevailing thought is they're going to trade it, the Pelicans are. 2 future first-round picks and then a swap of first-rounders a couple years from now. So it was a mammoth trade for the Pelicans. And obviously they were giving away a mammoth player in Anthony Davis, and they got a great return for it. And we'll see if they hold on to that 4th overall pick in the draft. The talk is they won't. I don't know why, though. I sure would want to keep it. I think there's some good players in that 4 spot that they could get. Of course, it's the same ones we're talking about, Russ. So, of course, we're going to feel like, I guess in a way, they'd be foolish to get rid of those of a pick that could get one of those players, because they can have a man crush on Culver. They don't need a point guard, so they're not going to worry about, you know, the kid from Vanderbilt or the kid from North Carolina. But I mean, they could get Culver. They could to put with Jrue Holiday. They could put – and, my God, they got Ball. I mean, they got a lot of guards, right? They got Ball, and they got an Ingram. Ingram's more of a 3, though, isn't he? I mean, so, you know, I'll take the 4th pick of the draft. I'll take it, and we'll see. There'll be more rumors, I think, popping up here the closer we get Alabama 1984 to the draft. I would think we'll hear more rumors because – Wojo's got to be on the prowl. All right. So we're going to have the NBA draft all week long to talk about. We're going to have the Braves, obviously, to talk about. What a big weekend it was. Friday night, Braves had the monumental comeback. Me and Russ were ready to stay there for the entire game, and Skip Seda had to leave. You know, at his age, you got to get home by a certain hour.
Yeah.
So we left early and missed the big comeback in the 9th inning. And it's Skip Seda's fault. And that's our story.
We'll stick to that.
And we're sticking to it.
Don't you think the crocodile tears he produced were a little bit too much?
Oh, my gosh.
When he was begging to go home.
Yeah, he just, you know.
A little bit over the edge.
Got to get home to mommy. But, no. We left. We did leave. Honesty compels us to report that we left on Friday night. So we do suck. And we took off early. And you know what? That kind of comeback, not that we had anything to do with it, but if we can be assured that they're going to win a game like that, we'll leave every time. We really will. It was quite a game, quite a comeback. I think Russ and I dropped Skip out at exit 201. Right when Dansby Swanson got the hit. And we were like, uh-oh. And it was, what, 8-6? Is that what the score was, I believe, going into the bottom of the ninth inning?
I think it was 8-6.
So Dansby got the hit, and Russ and I kind of looked at each other like, uh-oh, here we go. And, I mean, it was 7-2 when we walked out of there, and it was dead. right? I mean, it was really, really bad. It was like the energy you saw at the very end of the game was not there when we walked out. We were walking out as Brian McCann was hitting that home run to make it 7-3, if that tells you anything. And then all of a sudden, obviously, they kept on coming back, and the hit by Brian McCann is one of the best I've ever seen in my life. It's a great, great moment. Great moment for him. And I keep on going back to that goofball Ronald Acuna. Have you seen the video of him jumping up and down with the cooler, and he throws a big old cooler of Gatorade or Powerade, let's say, and then all of a sudden after doing that, just starts jumping up and down with the cooler above his head. So, I mean, have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable how funny he is.
You know, and it's fun to see that. I mean, just pure joy. And he's a kid, you know, so that's a big part. He's 21 years old. I mean, he probably won't be jumping up and down with coolers at 31, but you never know.
I hope so.
But somebody that gets it is just – it's refreshing and fun as a fan to watch somebody that gets that much joy out of being able to play the game for a living. He's as into it as we are as fans. He cares as much as we do as fans. And just seeing that energy on the field each and every night with number 13, I mean, the guys have to feed off of it. And it's a fun energy. It's not a negative energy. It's not a look at me energy. It is just, it's everything that you want out of your favorite players in professional sports. And I just, you know, usually it's the leaders and the veterans leading the way, and that's the way it's going to be down the stretch here with the Braves. We know that. But I hope those guys can feed off of his energy a little bit, too, down the stretch, because he's got plenty of it to go around.
You said the words joy. I actually wrote that in the column in the Athens Banner-Herald, because that's what it is. There is a joy. When he ran to pick up Ozzie Albies on Wednesday night, there was a joy in that kid that he was able to watch them win, play that way, and then, I mean, it was incredible to watch. It really was. It was a lot of fun. This weekend's games, all right, they had the horrible game on Saturday, which we'll talk about with the Fluke Jackson. And now I'm actually stealing Ken from Macon's nicknames, if that tells you how bad the situation's gotten in the Atlanta bullpen. It was kind of like, okay, let's see. Let me try to think about this. Friday night was a great night, right? Friday night, you're like, you know what? You're in high school. You got your girlfriend. Everything's going good. Boom, boom, boom. Next night, you're out at another party, and all of a sudden, she's hanging out with another dude. Then Sunday comes back, and you're hanging out with the best looking girl in the school, and she makes you. She's just like, oh my, what? You know? I mean, Sunday was like icing on the cake. Like everything, boom, 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 perfect. You responded to that crap on Saturday with a great win on Sunday where they just beat the living dog crap out of Philadelphia. And it was a lot of fun. It was a great, great win on Sunday for the Braves to come back and have that kind of victory and to have that kind of performance. I think it was a statement. I think that it was necessary to prove to the Phillies that the first three games of the season were a mirage and that the Braves now are more of what they are and what they're going to be compared to what they were the first three games of the year. I just hate that there was a remembrance of the first three games by what happened on Saturday night in the ninth inning. Because unfortunately, what happened on Saturday night in the ninth inning is exactly what happened on opening day, which made the situation pretty bleak and made the bullpen a problem. And it still is. Still is. June 17th, it still is, unfortunately, still a problem. And I told someone about an hour ago, I said, you know what, unfortunately, I got to go on the show today and talk about the same thing that's been a problem 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago. I mean, it's like broken record. The bullpen, still a problem. And we all know until they fix it, this team's not going to be where it needs to be for sure. So we're going to talk about that. When we come back, we're going to talk about Josh Donaldson. Yes, we're going to talk nicely about Josh Donaldson, we promise, because there's plenty to talk about with Josh Donaldson, and we've been waiting for what he did, and we're glad that he did it. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the continuing conversation about whom the Braves may go after. in the trade market before the trade deadline. And we'll talk more NBA draft. We'll take your phone calls starting at 4 o'clock. We're at Dawson's Kitchen here, where we invite you to come by. Great food at Dawson's Kitchen. Beef tips on rice, baked chicken, fried chicken, fried pork chop, collard greens, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, candied yams, dressing, and rice. They have mac and cheese, green beans, and fried chicken every single day. And they're also open on Saturday. They also have fresh vegetables. They have cakes, pies, great desserts, cookies, anything you want, they have it here. They have preserves. They have just great food here at Dawson's Kitchen, Midtown Macon. When you come in, please tell me that you heard it on Middle Georgia's ESPN. With Russ Brown, I'm Bill Shanks. You're listening to The Bill Shanks Show. He's a maniac, maniac. Welcome back, Bill and Russ, here at Dawson's Kitchen on Brookdale Avenue in Macon. Quite a weekend for the Braves. They won 2 of 3 from the Phillies to remain in first place over Philadelphia by 2.5 games. They are 42-30. 2 games up in the loss column on the Phillies. Braves had an incredible win on Friday, blew the game on Saturday, and then came back to win 15-1 on Sunday. Josh Donaldson was the big story of the weekend, and we are thrilled. Do not think for 1 minute that we are not happy that Josh Donaldson had a good weekend. We are, because he helped the Braves win. 7-for-13 over the weekend, 3 home runs, 1 each day, 6 runs batted in. Now has his batting average up to .252 with 12 home runs, 33 runs batted in, and a 6-game hitting streak. 10-for-27, 4 home runs, and 8 runs batted in his last 6 games. So we are seeing some progress from Josh Donaldson. Again, we have not been very happy with JD. I like you now, so I can call him by his initials. And we just wanted him to produce. We wanted him to do what he's done the last 6 games. And they played, obviously, 72 games. They have a pretty good number of games left, more than half the season. 90, as a matter of fact, games left. And these are the type of things that we kind of expected, regardless of how much money he's making. Because of his track record, because of what he's doing, we hoped that he would carry this team on his shoulders. Now, I think we have to agree to believe that the entire offense is doing so much right now that we can't say that only Josh Donaldson is doing well, because we know that Ronald Acuna is doing well, Freddie Freeman's doing well, Austin Riley's doing well, yada, yada, yada. These June batting averages are ridiculous. Listen to this. Ronald Acuna in June, .362. Ozzie Albies, .345. Freddie Freeman, .322. Dansby, .302. Even with Riley hitting only .242 in the month of June, he's got 4 home runs and 12 RBI. Remember when he said at the beginning of June, all right, how many home runs and RBI is Austin Riley going to average for the rest of this year? We tried to get him up to 30 home runs and 80 RBI, I believe, Russ, and he's already halfway through the month of June at 4 home runs and 12 RBI. I mean, he's going to be, unless he goes into even more of a slump than he's been in the last couple of weeks, which he's still, he's hit .242, and he's still hit 4 home runs and driven in 12. Think about that now. That's what power will do for you. You've only hit .242. You still have hit 4 home runs and driven in 12. Of course, RBIs don't matter, so they say. But he's going to finish with, all right, let's be conservative. He's going to finish with 6 home runs and 16 RBI. He averages that for the rest of the year. He's the rookie of the year, right? No doubt. I mean, it's not even close. But these June batting averages are very impressive. The offense has been remarkable. Braves are now 2nd in runs scored in the National League, 2nd in batting average, 2nd in OBP, 2nd in OPS, 4th in slugging percentage, and in home runs. National League ranks. Since changing the lineup on May the 10th, Brian Snitker's team is 24-10. And having Josh Donaldson do what he did over the weekend is really scary, because any team that plays this team right now is nervous. The Braves are getting ready to take on the New York Mets. It's going to be a very big challenge for the Braves. They've got Zach Wheeler tonight, Jacob deGrom tomorrow, Steven Matz on Wednesday. All three pitchers do not have eye-popping low ERAs. Wheeler's at 4.87, deGrom 3.38, Matz at 3.93. But we all know that all three of these pitchers are very, very good. When those three pitchers are doing their work to prepare this weekend, they're going to go, oh, my word, look at these numbers. Look at these batting averages. Look what they've done. Ronald Acuna is getting going. He was 7 for 14 over the weekend with a home run, two RBI, home run yesterday. Now has 16 home runs, 47 runs batted in on the season. Remember, we're 9 games away from the midway point of the year where we can do the Shanks baseball statistical theory and multiply everything by 2. Ronald Acuna has an 8-game hitting streak, hitting .375, 15 for 40, 3 home runs, 9 RBI. Ozzie Albies was 5 for 13 over the weekend, 3 RBI. His average is up to .281, 10 home runs, 35 RBI, .345 OBP. So we're talking about a second baseman who's basically on par, on pace, for about 21 home runs and 75 RBI. That's pretty good. Freddie Freeman has barely calmed down. 4 for 13 with a home run, 5 RBI over the weekend. .311 batting average, 19 home runs, 51 runs batted in, and a .322 average in the month of June. Dansby, 3 for 12 over the weekend, batting .302 in the month of June. Overall now, .266, 13 home runs, 43 runs batted in. When we are able in another week and a half to do the Shanks Baseball Statistical Theory and look at these numbers, my word, the final numbers that are going to be projected for these hitters will be astounding. They are on a roll offensively. Of course, the issue with this team is always the bullpen. Braves now have Luke Jackson, who has blown 6 saves on the season. Interesting thing that was in the notes is the Braves have 6 blown saves all by Jackson this season. They are now, and in which they have blown a game, they are now 5-1 in the following game. So they are not letting these bad bullpen performances mess them up, which is a good sign. Braves have 108 home runs in 72 games, so they are obviously on a roll, and the home runs are just coming plenty. The Braves were in this 10-game stretch here. They've gone 9-1 with the only loss being on Saturday. They have scored 78 runs, most runs they've scored in a 10-game stretch since 2007. The offense is not a problem. There is nothing this team needs offensively. Not a bench player? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Charlie Clutch? Matt Joyce? Whoever's not catching? Endrin Ciarte, which I guess he'll be back on the bench when he comes back. I don't know how, but that's probably what's going to happen. Bench doesn't need anything. They need a closer. Luke Jackson, last 12 games, ERA of 4.97. 4 saves, 4 blown saves. That's not a good ratio. You can't in 12 games save 4 and blow 4. You just can't. 10 runs allowed, 7 earned on 18 hits and 12.2 innings pitched. 4.97 ERA. Last 12 games, let me read that again. Luke Jackson has 4 saves and 4 blown saves. Last 3 games, 1 save, 1 blown save, 4 runs, 1 earned and 5 hits allowed in 3 innings of work. Of course, the blown save the other night. So, broken record. New day, same story. We know what they've got to do. This team is 2.5 games in first place by the Phillies. If they had a regular bullpen, they'd be at least 4.5. I'll say 4.5, maybe 5. Not drastic. I don't want to go crazy, but I think obviously we can say you can't expect perfection, but you have to know that they can be better than what they're doing with that bullpen, particularly with Luke Jackson. He's got to go. He's got to go to the 7th inning and hopefully be productive there. I don't know if he can be productive there or not. Starting pitching's got to be better too. We know that. Mike Soroka pitches tonight. Thank God he's 7-1 with a 1.92 ERA. He is outstanding. So is Julio Teheran, who's got a 2.92 ERA. He'll pitch tomorrow against DeGrom, who can't be the Braves to save his life. Knock on wood. Max on Wednesday, 7-3. Don't panic. Max will be fine. He's fine. Don't worry about him. Friday, Dallas Keuchel. Here comes Keuchel. Keuchel pitched on Saturday, gave up 3 runs, 11 hits, 7 innings, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Snicker said the reports were good, solid, felt good about the situation after the game, which is all we needed to hear. So, look, there's a couple ways to look at what happened on Saturday night. You could say, you know what, you weren't supposed to win that game on Friday. you weren't supposed to lose the game on Saturday. It kind of evened out, and then you blew them out on Sunday. 2 of 3, don't complain. Get them out of there. You won the series. That's enough. Part of us will remember that game on Saturday is yet another one against a team that's the division rival, the main rival right now. That should have been a win. Should the Braves have swept that series over the weekend? Yeah. Should they have won that game on Friday? Well, they did. So, I mean, you could say they shouldn't have lost the game on. Look, the Phillies are sitting here saying they should have won 2 out of 3. Okay? If the Phillies are saying we should have won 2 out of 3, obviously giving Sunday to the Braves are saying we should have swept that series. But you are in a much better position if you're the Braves. Do not worry about saying, well, we should have swept the series, but we're going to be disappointed. No, you're not, because you won the series. So no one's going to be complaining too much about that game. Now, again, you lose the division by one game, people are going to go back to June 15th and say, what the heck? And blame Alex Anthopoulos, and they should. Because here we are, and they still have not addressed the closer situation. There's no doubt in my mind it'll be addressed before July 31st. Don't know when. Quicker the better. Because this is going to happen again. They don't have a closer. Luke Jackson, God bless him. I mean, you know, look, he's been put in a position that he can't handle. He's not a closer. Luke's proven he can pitch. He's proven he can get people out. Is he a closer? No. I was thinking the other day, a real bad scenario for Luke Jackson. No, I think there's a 100% chance he's going to be replaced as the closer. And if he does not conform to the middle relief role, Luke Jackson could be released by the end of the year. He's not a long-term situation here, okay? He's not. And the Braves are going to have to get a closer, or they're not going to win the division, and they're not going to go to the playoffs. And considering what we've seen in the first 72 games, if that's the case, that'll be a crying shame. Because we all believe now, after what we've seen in the last 34 games, when they've gone 24-10 with this new lineup and the new left fielder, that they can do what just about what they want to do with anybody. But not if you lose games in the bullpen. Look, I've been watching this team for 40 years. The bullpen is the main overriding factor why the Braves have not been more successful over the last 4 decades. They have been successful. They have been good. They have been great. But why have they only won one world championship? Bullpen. Bullpen. They tried to get Bruce Sutter in 1985. He blew out his shoulder. They had trouble in 91. They went through 15 different new relief pitchers, it seemed. Juan Berenguer, first. Jim Clancy, second. Alejandro Pena. I mean, you go on and on. Next year, it was Jeff Reardon. Game 2 of the World Series. Braves were up 1-0 in the series. Ninth inning, getting ready to go up 2-0, going back to Toronto. What happened? Ed Sprague came up with Derek Bell on base. Home run off Jeff Reardon. Series was tied. Blue Jays won in 6. Bullpen has been the Achilles heel of this organization for its history. And if they don't fix it this year, it's going to be another wasted year where they have to say, if the bullpen had been addressed, we may not have been sitting at home in October watching someone else play in the playoffs. We know it. They know it. They got to do something about it. The quicker they do it, the better. Danny Winkler, been sent down. That was good. Now they brought Grant Dayton back up. They're Band-Aids. They've got to go get a legitimate relief pitcher who can close games in the ninth inning. You may say, try Jacob Webb. I don't disagree with what you have in the bullpen right now. I don't disagree. I like to try Jacob Webb. Anthony Schwarzik, what about him? I don't disagree. Luke Jackson does not need to be the closer anymore. Luke, and I, you know what? I feel sorry for him. You know, he was dog cussed beginning of the year, right? He was awful. The ERA was like 100. Couldn't get any Phillies out. Walked them left and right. Then he got on track. Didn't give up a run for a month. Oh, son, the Phillies come back to town. What does he do? He wets the bed. Like, come on, man. So I feel sorry for him, but he's not a closer. You know, you could sit here and say, well, let's blame Alex, rather Luke Jackson. No, blame the one I mentioned before, Alex Anthopoulos. Don't blame Saturday night on Luke Jackson. Blame it on Alex. I do. I hate it. But this inability to get a closer for this team is a huge error in judgment. It is not what should have happened. They have made a huge mistake in not addressing this issue. And it continues. It continues. It's June 17th. They tried the best they could, from what I was told a couple of weeks ago, to sign Craig Kimbrell. They didn't get him. And now they're in the same position they were before that, hoping someone can be acquired to get that bullpen on track. But I'm telling you, if you think Saturday night was the last time we're going to see a problem, you're wrong. Luke Jackson has 10 saves and 6 blown saves. There's not a statistical theorist, analyst, who can spin that as being something positive and convince me that he's where he needs to be. They need a closer. And until they do, the chances of sweeping out a team like the Phillies will be cut short because you're going to have to bring him in because there's no other alternative. Now, there may be an alternative. Sicker could go to Webb or Swarzyk, but will he? Of course, the question is, who will they get for the bullpen before the trade deadline on July 31st? We'll talk about that. Open up the phones at the top of the hour. We're at Dawson's Kitchen here on Brookdale Avenue in Macon, where they have fried pork chops and fried chicken. There is no better thing and message to send out to the public at large than we have fried chicken and fried pork chops. We'll be back with more on this Monday right after this. Bill and Russ back here at Dawson's Kitchen on Brookdale Avenue. Thank you very much for being with us. From Twitter, Double A says, listening right now, well said about the lack of strong bullpens historically and current lack of strong bullpen. You're right, big lack of judgment by Alex Anthopoulos this season. Can you name a team of late that didn't have a shutdown closer and won a World Series? I can't. Whew, that'd be kind of a good little test. When's the last time there's been a World Series champion that didn't have a shutdown closer? I just can't imagine there being a team like that. I don't. I mean, look. Picture game 7 of the ninth of the 7th game. Game 7 of the World Series, ninth inning. Who you putting out there? Luke Jackson? Are you kidding? I'm being drunk for that game.
Is Soroka available?
Yeah, really. No, I mean, it's all right, you know, you just go backwards. I mean, Boston, Kimbrell, Houston had the guy who got suspended, right? He was the one that they had. Well, heck, they had Charlie Morton out there.
Yeah.
In the 7th game, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of as a long reliever. Not many. You've got to have a closer. You do. Joe on Twitter, didn't we call Alejandro Pena Sr. Smoke? I think it was Juan Berenguer, I believe. Also, there's a report out today, that Charlie Walters, of the Pioneer Press, say that the Twins are moving closer to a trade for Madison Bumgarner. Charlie Walters from the TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press. Let's see what I'm clicking on this article here to see exactly what he's saying. And see if what the exact mention of Madison Bumgarner. Insiders say the Twins are moving closer to trade with the Giants for left-hander starter Madison Bumgarner. Twins analytics show Craig Kimbrell by market value is worth a 2-year free agent deal, but not the 3 years that the right-hander received from the Cubs, who signed the 31-year-old for $43 million. The Twins are interested only in a 2-year deal. I've been told the Twins are the team to beat for Madison Bumgarner. and I've said his name a million times on the show, and since I have, that means he'll probably not be here. But there's no better scenario for the Atlanta Braves than to call San Francisco and to get that deal done for Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith. Bumgarner's from North Carolina, Will Smith from Noonan. You do the math. Madison Bumgarner is still a very good pitcher. Don't try to convince me, he's not what he used to be at 25. Well, okay, neither are you. He's still very good. And put together your – it's very simple. Give me your – Russ, playoff start tomorrow. Give me your playoff rotation.
Oh, let's see. Soroka, for sure. Julio's in there for sure. I'm going to go ahead and put Keuchel in there for sure. And probably Max Fried, because I do have more faith in him to get back on track than Folty. So I would say those four.
Okay. How much better is that with Madison Bumgarner compared to a fifth starter?
Yeah, right now it would literally be Soroka, Julio, no-brainer. Then probably Keuchel and Bumgarner after that, depending on how well they are pitching. But it's going to be like you'll have competition with Fried in there too. And if Folty gets it straightened out, so then you'd have competition for the back two spots. I think that'd just be great.
I do too. He's still the number one candidate for me. I do not want Marcus Stroman. People are like, why not? Well, first of all, I don't want for Alex Anthopoulos to go down the Toronto well over and over and over and over again. I just don't. Stroman's having a better year than he did last year. He was awful last year. Oh, my gosh, he was awful. 5.54 ERA, 3.09 the year before. This guy's under contract for another year after this year. I'm just not impressed with Marcus Stroman. Here's the question. Would Marcus Stroman be in our playoff rotation based on the numbers we see right now from him and the others in the rotation? I don't know if that's the case. I think I'd rather have Mike Foltynewicz and Julio Tehran both in the rotation over Marcus Stroman. Max Fried as well. And again, Madison Bumgarner being a lefty is going to be tougher on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Who's going to help this team win a World Series? I think Madison Bumgarner has a better chance of doing that compared to Marcus Stroman. I'm just not a big Marcus Stroman fan. I'm just not. I think Madison Bumgarner is perfect. Here's the problem. The Braves have a lot of pitching that could be available, right? But whether it's Newcomb, glad he's okay, Tukey, Kyle Wright, Bryce Wilson. There's a lot of pitchers you could throw in a deal. The Giants supposedly want position players. Problem is, they want the two best position players for the Atlanta Braves, and that is Drew Waters and Christian Pache. They do not need a catcher. Braves have, of course, William Contreras and L. Shea and Langoliers. So that's a little bit of a problem. Austin Riley, of course, has come up and made a huge impact for this team. You may wonder, who's next? Well, let me throw these numbers at you, and you tell me who's next. For the season, 338 batting average, 5 home runs, 27 runs batted in, 382 OBP. Last 10 games, this player, 464 batting average, 2 home runs, 8 RBI, 476 OBP. This player leads the Southern League in batting average with 338, OPS at 916, hits with 93, total bases with 147, doubles with 23, triples with 8. This player is 20-year-old Drew Waters. Christian Pache is also doing very well. 291 batting average, 348 OBP, 9 home runs, 36 RBI. Last 9 games, Pache is hitting 313, 3 home runs, 6 RBI, 371 OBP. As much as I want Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith, as much as I believe those two players can make the Braves a World Series contender, I would not trade Drew Waters or Christian Pache. Either one of them. And the Giants, I've been told, want them, particularly Drew Waters. I ask on Twitter, Would you include Brace outfield prospects Drew Waters and or Christian Pache in a trade to San Francisco for Madison Bumgarner and or Will Smith? 76% of the 1,469 whom have voted have said both are off limits. 14% said maybe one for Mad Bum. 6% said trade Waters, not Pache. 4% said trade Pache, not Waters. The Facebook version of that same question had to be a yes or no question because they didn't give more than one answer, so we had to kind of deal with that. It was pretty much a yes or no of would you trade Christian Pache or Drew Waters for Madison Bumgarner. And the results are very similar to what was on Twitter. I'm stalling now for the page to stop circling and to come up. The results are as follows. Again, the question, would you include Braves outfield prospects, Drew Waters, and or Christian Pache in a trade to San Francisco for Madison Bumgarner and or Will Smith? 23% said yes, 77% said no. So basically, three quarters of the people in both the Twitter world and the Facebook world who responded to this poll said we will not trade either Pache or Waters. And again, as much as I want Madison Bumgarner, I would not trade either of these two. Look, Christian Pache and Drew Waters are both 20 years old. I want you to take a little bit of a big picture look at the Braves right now. Even though we hope they can win the World Series this year, think about that lineup with all those young players. Acuna, Riley, Pache, Waters, Dansby, Ozzy, Freddie being the veteran. It's hard to break that team up, isn't it? And that's what you do if you trade them for those pitchers from San Francisco. 478-646-ESPN. That is our number. We are here at Dawson's Kitchen. We'd love to hear from you as we talk Braves baseball right here on The Bill Shanks Show.